Welcome to Steppin' Out, the 12-step meeting on the air. Tonight you'll meet real people with true stories of addiction and recovery. And now, Steppin' Out.
Hello and welcome to America's 12-step radio show. My name is Drew and this is Steppin' Out. We got a bunch of people here that have gotten sober quite young, and they're going to share with us their experience, their strength, and their hope. And first up, we have our first guest, Lee. How are you, sir?
Doing well.
Well, tell us, Lee, what's it all about? What happened out there?
My name's Lee. I'm an alcoholic.
How you doing, Lee?
I really appreciate the opportunity to be here today, and it's part of doing service, which is a big part of my program today. I was born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama. I grew up in a family where neither my parents nor my grandparents, any that I knew, I'd never seen them drink. And it was instilled in me from a pretty young age that drinking was not something that we were to do. My daddy had three rules in our house, and that was no drugs, no alcohol, and no tobacco. And I was a good kid. I grew up right and didn't do any of that stuff. And it really wasn't until I was about 12 years old or so when my older brother had started to use drugs some and get in trouble with the law, and that's really the first exposure that I'd had to that stuff. And really more than anything, it deterred me from following that, from following his path. And, you know, I'd started to get friends and all that kind of stuff that would come up to me, say, you know, we're going to drink, smoke pot, smoke cigarettes even. And I'd say, you know, no, I can't do that. I've seen what's happened to my brother, and that's not happening. And growing up, you know, I always just had this thing where I didn't quite fit in. I didn't really feel like I fit in much anywhere with anybody. And the only real relationship that I had, the closest friend that I had was my dad. And we could talk, you know. I could really let my stuff out with him. And he was my best friend when I was growing up. One day when I was 14, I was hanging out with some friends of mine at this guy's house, and his parents had gone out for the night, and somebody had the idea to get into the liquor cabinet. And I had this whole, you know, moral barrier between me and drugs and alcohol. And for some reason, when that suggestion came up, I just said, okay. And the last thing I remember from that night was looking down at a little plastic cup full of scotch. And woke up the next morning. I was naked. There was urine on the walls. There was vomit everywhere. And it became pretty clear to me that I didn't drink like my friends. They, you know, they all kind of woke up and were ready to have breakfast and everything. I wanted to die.
They had clothes on for starters.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, they had clothes. It was funny. I woke up, and the first thing I said was, where's my underwear? And my friend was like, it's right here, dude. And he threw it at me. It was pretty gross. and I had long hair at the time, so there was puke all in my hair and everything. But so anyway, I dry heaved for days, all day. And I dry heaved to the point where the blood vessels in my eyes burst. And they didn't turn white again for a couple weeks. But anyway, so somehow I convinced this guy's mom that we'd gotten hold of some rancid grape juice. And so that must have been when I threw up. I mean, I don't know what else it would be. And my daddy came and picked me up and took me home, and I just went right to bed. It took all I had not to throw up while I was in the car, you know. I went home and went right to bed, and he came in and woke me up several hours later, you know, and he came in there and woke me up, and he said, you know, Lee, did you drink last night? And I looked at my daddy, who was my best friend, and I told him no. And I'd had a horrific experience with alcohol the night before, and but I loved it, you know. It made me fit in. And at that moment, I chose alcohol before everything else in my life. I chose it over my dad. And I knew at that point that I was going to have to drink as much as possible, as frequently as possible. And like I said, my parents didn't drink, so we didn't have booze in the house. But every time I got an opportunity, when I went to somebody's house who did have it, and that's usually what we did, stole it from liquor cabinets from their parents, I'd get drunk. And the thing is, when I drank, like I said, it wasn't like anybody else. You know, once I took that first drink of alcohol, it was just on, you know, and I drank till I blacked out. When I first came into recovery, people were talking about having blackouts, and I didn't know what that meant. And it took me a couple months to realize that the reason I didn't know what that meant is because every time I drank, I blacked out. There's never been a time where I drank and I did not black out.
Never? I mean, every single time you drank, you blacked
absolutely.
Out.
And
you,
yeah.
You weren't putting this together that you didn't have a normal relationship with alcohol?
No. You know, I mean, not for a while.
Okay.
You know, it was just, I figured the way I looked at it was, why would you possibly drink? I mean, why would you conceivably drink if you weren't going for that effect?
Yeah, that's
you
the
know,
point,
if you weren't
right.
going for oblivion. And that's the reason I drank.
Was your dad onto your game that I mean, did he know what was going on with you?
Not at first. My dad, I've been so blessed with my parents, and my dad didn't have any reason to, you know, disbelieve his son. You know, he loved me, and he wanted to trust me. And it really wasn't until later that I gave him reason to believe otherwise. And so, you know, I kept drinking, you know, for fun on the weekends and whatnot. And I started getting into little bits of trouble, but I managed to kind of scrape my way out of it and all that. And about a year later, maybe a couple years later, it gotten to the point where I wasn't drinking out of fun anymore. I was drinking out of necessity. I couldn't face the prospect of walking through a day without drugs and alcohol.
Well, where did you cross that line? And what was the moment where you knew that you were that it was beyond you?
I guess I was probably in 10th grade. I was probably 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we started drinking at school probably around when I was in 9th grade or so. We started drinking and smoking pot at school. And right around 10th grade, there's this thing I was in with a girl. And I started drinking and smoking every waking hour that I could, because I couldn't face life anymore. You know, I wanted to kill myself, but I was too afraid to do it. And so I just killed the pain, you know.
Were you showing up for school, and were you pretty, I mean, you were keeping the game face on?
I
mean,
I was showing up to school. My grades were suffering.
Yeah,
definitely.
Sure. Any of your teachers have any idea that maybe?
Not really.
There was a problem,
you know,
here?
I mean,
I
was clearly depressed in class. I must have been obviously, you know, drunk in class, but, you know, nobody really said anything about it. It was kind of swept under the table, I guess, or whatever.
Sure.
And, but yeah, I mean, I was missing classes because I was just too drunk to go. I remember one time I went in to take an English test, and like, I didn't know we had a test that day because I was drunk in class the day before, you know. So I, like, sit down, and I'm wasted, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just looking at the paper, and it's like a 4-page test on this book that I didn't even know we were supposed to read. And I just looked at it, and just through this fog, you know, and I just, like, put my name on it and just walked out, you know. I mean, I had no idea what I was doing. And, It's funny looking back at it, but I mean, my life at home was just going to shambles. You know, every night I was coming home, and I'd walk straight up the stairs and sit on my bed, and my parents would follow me in and talk to me for hours, and I couldn't even look at them in the eye.
Our focus tonight is on young people in recovery, and Lee got sober rather young, and he was telling us a pretty interesting story. So, Lee, why don't you continue?
Yes, sir. By the time I was around 16 or so, my family life had really begun to disintegrate. I was losing, you know, close relationships with friends and stuff of that nature. Usually a Friday night for me was sitting at home in a dark room listening to country music. Sad country music. Yeah, I know, right? I know. And
is there happy country music? I'm
yeah,
sorry,
yeah,
I'm from New York.
Yeah, exactly,
I don't know.
Right.
Okay.
Well, there's rowdy country music and sad country music. So this was sad country music.
Okay.
And, you know, just sitting there, just feeling totally alone and drinking. And just sitting there, just full of just this self-loathing and just feeling totally alone, you know. And, that's something that I really got out of coming to Alcoholics Anonymous, is that, you know, I can't describe that feeling.
Sure.
You know,
but everybody in a room when I go to a meeting, I know understands where I was, where I've been. But anyway, that really continued for quite some time. I kept, you know, drinking every day and whatnot. And by the time I was a junior in high school, my parents, I really wasn't talking to them anymore. They knew that I was using drugs and drinking. They were drug testing me at home, things like that. And so I had to turn exclusively to alcohol. And like I said, I was drinking every day, all that. Even my friends, my drinking buddies, had started to tell me, dude, you know, you need to slow down, you know, what's going on. And so I made a pact. I was like, I'm going to go 30 days without drinking. I was like, if I do this and I'm not an alcoholic, all y'all are wrong. I'm just, you know, a little wound up or whatever. And so I did it. I went 30 days without drinking alcohol. And mostly what I did was when I wasn't in class, I locked myself in my room and listened to like Black Flag really loud. And whenever one of my friends, you know, came in contact with me or I had to talk to somebody, it was just like a short fuse, man. You know, if somebody said something to me, I was just going to blow up at them. And, you know, just scream and, you know, screaming, crying, cussing, moaning, all that kind of stuff. And, but anyway, after the 30 days was up, I was like, okay, I'm cured. I can drink again. And, so we went out that night and, I woke up at about 3 a.m, in a strip mall parking lot outside this girl's house, who I was trying to get in to see, and with a few beers left and a case of Pabst Blue Ribbon in my back seat, and didn't know how I'd gotten there. I blacked out again. And I woke up because my folks were calling me on my phone, and my dad is just the most patient, loving man I've ever met, and I'd worn him down to the point where he said, get home. He said, I don't know or care where you are, get home right now. And so I drove down I-65 north towards Birmingham. I don't even remember driving home, you know. And walked in. They talked at me for a minute, and I just went right upstairs and went to sleep. And this kept going on up until November 21st, 2001. And that day was the day before Thanksgiving. It was a Wednesday. We were getting out of school at 1 o'clock that day to celebrate or whatever. And so me and a friend of mine had decided today we're going to drink like gentlemen. You know, we're going to, you know, quit doing all this, you know, just obsessive, just crazy drinking. And we're just going to drink like adults. So we were like, so we're going to drink eggnog, you know, because it's that time of the season. So we went to the store and got a carton of eggnog. We got a fifth of Wild Turkey and mix this up. And we started drinking like gentlemen at 8 a.m.
That's a gentleman's cocktail, right?
Yeah,
there.
Exactly. Sure. Yeah, exactly. So,
Wild Turkey and eggnog.
That's absolutely right. And so after a while, we were like, you know, this isn't strong enough. And it really turned into like brown sludge, you know, like kind of creamy bourbon. And so, you know, we threw that out and just started drinking out of the bottle. And by the time 1 o'clock came around, you know, it was oblivion again. You know, there was nothing. And after school, we generally went to this bar that had a happy hour. They had 10-cent beers. And so, like, we always went there after school. And I was just wasted. My friends were like, you know, dude, give us your keys, you know. And they always did that. I drove drunk constantly. And somebody was watching out for me while I was out there. But anyway, they said, give me your keys. And I gave them a set of keys that wasn't my car keys. And I ended up getting in my car and driving to the bar. Anyway, this afternoon, it was the day before Thanksgiving. I was heading to a bar, drunk on Wild Turkey, had the rest of the fifth.
A gentleman's cocktail, am I?
Yeah, there. Absolutely. Yeah, we were drinking like, you know, highfalutin folks. But anyway, so before I got halfway to the bar, I ran into a car, got in an accident, and not having what the program of Alcoholics Anonymous has given me, I didn't take responsibility for any of my actions when I was drinking, and so I took off, and I drove off, and the guy was chasing me through traffic and everything. Anyway, long story short, I got locked up for 3 days over Thanksgiving. I was 16 years old in a lockup in Columbiana, Alabama, out in the country. And I got in that night. and it was during a blackout, and I went into my cell and I laid down on a mat, and I was looking up at the ceiling, and it was nighttime by that time. But there's this white ceiling, and I just looked up at it, and I'd pretty much given up on believing in God or any of that stuff a long time before, and but I looked up at that ceiling, and I just said, if anything's out there, you know, I can't do this anymore. You know, I want help. And that was the first real prayer I think I ever said. And those 3 days in jail were a lot easier after I said that. And Saturday came around. My folks came to pick me up. It was pouring rain outside. And I got in the car with them, and I said, y'all, I can't drink anymore. And I told them the whole story. It was bawling. And we pulled into this, we were driving on this country road and pulled into this parking lot of this little white church. And I just told them everything. And a couple days later, went to my first AA meeting. And when I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous, I walked in trying to be the big shot, trying to be the big man. I'm 16 years old. I'm an AA. I'm going to tell you all what it's like to be a real drunk. And I went to my first AA meeting with my dad. And he didn't, you know, my parents didn't know anything about AA. And I sat down and I proceeded to tell all the people in that room what I'd done a few days before. And my daddy, who was, I guess, 46 years old, I'd never seen cry besides the time his daddy died a couple years before. And he was sitting next to me crying, listening to what his son had done. And I didn't care. You know, I'd really quit caring about all that. And so anyway, I was told that I needed to get a sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. I was told that I needed to go to meetings. So I got a sponsor. I called him every couple weeks, went to a couple meetings a week, and eventually I got drunk. I didn't take the suggestions that were given to me. But the thing is, when I drank, I didn't tell anybody about it. And I kept going to A meetings and telling them I was sober. I told them that I had a year sober when I really only had a couple months. And so anyway, one day the pressure had built up in me so bad that I knew that if I didn't get this off my chest, that I was going to drink. And I knew that this time, if I drank, I was going to die. And so it just built up so much. I had to tell somebody, and I told my sponsor, and he told me, listen, just go to your home group and tell them what happened. Tell them you drank. And I did it, and the thing is, my whole life, I went into every situation with people saying, what can I get out of you? What can you give me? And I went into that meeting, and I knew that I was burning the bridges with those people for taking something from them. I told them what happened, and I expected them to never talk to me again. But after that meeting, everybody came up to me and said, Lee, we love you. You're in the right place, and keep coming back. And at that moment, I knew that Alcoholics Anonymous worked. I knew that these people had been exactly like me, had been selfish, self-centered alcoholics, and they had gotten to the point where they could honestly care about a stranger, someone who lied to them and used them, and they could care about him and accept me with open arms. Mm. And that's when I knew that this program worked, and that's when I got a sponsor, and that's when I started working the steps to recovery.
How long have you been attending meetings?
I have been, I first came into Alcoholics Anonymous in November of 2001. I've been sober since September 1st, 2003.
Okay.
So that's about a year and a half. I first started coming when I was 16, and I got sober when I was 17.
What happens next?
Yes, sir. For a while, I had this theory that I needed drugs, not alcohol, but drugs, to give me a spiritual connection. Which is, you know, part of the program of recovery, and a spiritual connection, not drugs.
Right.
And so anyway, you know, I was taking the drugs and not telling anybody about it. And, you know, people were telling me about these things called the steps, and they were talking about, you know, doing service and being honest and going to meetings and stuff like that, and I wasn't doing it. And my life was just hurting all around me. My family life was still just distraught, you know, all this. And I just drank again, and it, for no particular reason. You know, it wasn't because I was drinking at a problem or anything like that. It's like I just drank and used drugs because that's what I do.
Right, right. But you weren't doing what they told you to do.
Absolutely not. Okay. And that's the thing. I find that if I take suggestions in Alcoholics Anonymous, then I will get sober and I will stay sober, and my life will be better than it ever has been.
Absolutely. Lee, thanks so much for being here with us. You got a powerful story. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thanks, Will.
Okay. This is Drew Martin from Stepping Out. If you want to find out more about our show, you can visit us online at www.steppingoutradio.com. You can sign up for our newsletter. You can drop us a line and say hello. Again, www.steppingoutradio.com.